Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life after booze.
Hi!
Hello!
Hello, hello!
So, this week we are welcoming Annalee Roberts, very special guest to all of us, and we'll dive into that in a little bit. But Annalee is a child forensic interviewer, a health and wellness advocate, and your alcohol-free bestie. Hello, and thank you for being here, Anna.
Hi! Yay. Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Us too.
We are so excited to have Anna here, our special guest, because I'm personally obsessed with her Instagram. I want her to teach me how to dance. And her mindset on fitness. She posts a lot about fitness and wellness, and you get to see her awesome workouts, and it like inspires me to work out, and it's refreshing to see in the social media space. There's a lot of folks I've been having to unfollow lately because I'm like, ooh, this kind of makes me feel not good. And you're just the total opposite of that and just genuinely seem like you would be so fun to hang out with. So I'm really excited that we get to do that today.
I am so excited too. Thank you. You guys are like so sweet. I'm like sweating. Oh my gosh.
I am too. I actually drove here from the gym. I just left the gym. So I'm sweaty from both the excitedness and the workout. I'm Katie and I have been alcohol free for 707 days today. I'm coming up on my 2 years, which is very exciting.
We love that.
Yeah. I am going to let Anna take it away, but I just want to say that the... How I discovered you on Instagram is pretty adorable. I have a 16-year-old little sister who sent me the video that went viral. I'm sure it was like one of your first ones of you like dancing. I don't know. Is that like the crib? Is that the Sea Walk?
I don't know what it's actually called, but I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like it was like walking into a hangover free weekend. Mm-hmm. And she sent that to me because I had just started my alcohol free journey when you posted that. And I was like, oh my God, follow. And so, yeah, I think I'm coming up on 2 years of like creeping on you on Instagram. So this is really exciting.
Oh my gosh.
So, Annalee, we'd love to know a little bit about you, what your pronouns are, how long you've been alcohol free, and then just like dive into it. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. Before I do that, I want to take a second live on the pod to acknowledge the both of you, Katie and Kaylee, for what you're doing with this podcast in the alcohol-free community. If there's anything that I've learned like from my own journey is that no matter how isolated you feel, you're actually never alone. And every single time I listen to an episode of this podcast, I feel seen and I feel heard and I feel spoken to. Whether it's related to alcohol-free life specifically or relationships or mental health or just everyday struggles or like feeling off for no reason, like that's not bad or wrong. And like, I'm reminded of that when I listen to this. And so I wanted to thank you both for doing that because like, I have had some people like tell me like, oh, you should do a podcast, like especially because I talk so much on social media. I'm like every single time like Dry Hard's already doing it. And so I just really commend you both and congrats on making it. It was a year earlier this year, but like look at you go. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So thank you.
Thank you.
But yeah. My name's Anna. Most people call me Anna. My full name's Annalee. I don't mind either. My pronouns are she, her. I don't know the exact number of days that I've been alcohol-free right now, but I do know that it will be 4 years on January 1st, 2023. So Katie and I share that date, which is pretty awesome. I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which I'm from here originally, but I did spend 7 years in Colorado between 2011 and 2018 for college. I've been a snowboarder my whole life. I love winter. I'm married to my husband, Adam. We actually met in Colorado, but he is also from Michigan.
Oh, wow.
We have two dogs that are literally my world. If you follow me on Instagram, I post about them a lot. They're incredible. I work full-time as a child forensic interviewer. It is my dream job that I knew I wanted from the time I was like 16 years old, probably. It's high stress work, but it's work that I'm like really excited about and happy to do every single day. And I don't think that I would have had the courage to apply for this job, to advocate for myself for this job, to go through the interview process of this job and feel so confident in myself in this role if I hadn't made the choice to get sober 4 years ago. I also have a side business of online health and fitness coaching that I do for fun and connection, and I love it. I grew up as a competitive dancer, so I've always like loved movement. And since getting sober, I've become so much more like intentional about exercise, and it's really shifted my perspective on fitness altogether. I have a wonderful alcohol-free community on Instagram. I love creating content and connecting with people that way. And I can't remember what episode it was, Katie, but it was a recent one with either Emily or Chelsea from Mix Without. And you had talked about how sometimes in-person events and in-person socialization can just be a little too energetically draining, and there's nothing wrong and no shame in like looking for those type of social supports virtually. And I was like, my gosh, yes, like that's how I'm very introverted. And so that's how I feel. And like even this, like I was so stoked for this podcast and like to connect with you both, but I get to do it at my house. And so like, I'm comfy and I'm happy and I'm like in my element. And so I love that about social media. And I have so many thoughts on alcohol-free life, but the primary aspect that I like to show is how much fun life is without booze and how we're not actually missing out on anything when we're not drinking. And I think that's a real big misconception from people who are not alcohol-free, or maybe people who are in the sober curiosity space. They might have that feeling. Like I said, I'm very introverted. I'm a Leo. July Leo.
I love Wait, when's your birthday?
July 25th.
Mine's the 29th.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
I've never met another Leo I haven't liked. Just well. Have to put that out there.
Yeah, July Leo. And I, like I said, I love winter, but I truly love like all of the seasons. I talked about that on social media, like when it turned to fall, because I like a lot of people like tend to get really like down and like pessimistic, which I totally get, like seasonal depression, seasonal affective disorder, like real things. I have that too. But also something that I've learned in sobriety is like to appreciate every phase of life and every literal season and like seasons of our lives as well. I think every season weather-wise has something special to offer, just like every season of life. Yeah, that's me. I'm 29 also. I didn't say that. I'll be turning 30 next year. Whoa.
I love it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, 30 is the best age. That's when I quit drinking like right after my 30th birthday. I'm sure you've heard me talk about my 30th birthday was literally fucking election day in 2020.
Wow.
Like I still sometimes I just think about that and I'm like, damn, we made it.
Yeah, you made it. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, Anna, that was the best introduction. And I love that you're a July Leo, because I kind of have a thing about Leos, but they're not July Leos.
So. I've learned to specify that I'm a July Leo.
I love that. Yeah, because I feel like, and I don't know, this is not my forte, but I feel like there's a little bit of Cancer in with those July Leos. They have some like cancer facing tendencies, and yeah. I have so many friends that are cancers as well. So I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's just get into it. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with alcohol, like where it started specifically. Mm-hmm. How young were you? How did that evolve over time?
Yeah. I mean, I remember like growing up, my family was great. Parents were great. Childhood was, you know, relatively normal, so to speak. But like my parents drank and it was just normal. Like I grew up with this already learning this normalization of drinking culture. When I started drinking, I think I was 14 years old, which is like so young. I was like, oh, what's I doing? 14. And I really had like no concept of who I was at that time. And I've always like struggled a lot with anxiety. I have anxiety disorder. I have panic disorder. I have social anxiety. I have all of the anxiety things. And so looking back, I think that that was like a really, that played a big role in my relationship with alcohol from a young age, because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to do what people were doing. And I remember, like I said, experimenting with alcohol when I was like 14 years old. I had friends with older siblings, and my first experience with alcohol was at a party with a friend's older sister. And from then on, it just kind of became like this I don't know, not really spiral, because I'm very much a rule follower. So like in middle school, high school, like I also didn't like want to break rules, but I also did a lot of things that were like rule breaking, but I was like careful about it because I also was a competitive dancer and I like didn't want to get in trouble. And like, but especially like as I did get older into more of like my senior year of high school into college, like that binge drinking, especially when I went away to college in 2011, I moved to Colorado. I didn't know anybody. And I did that for, like, I didn't want to stay in Michigan where I was. And so I wanted a change. I wanted this big shift. It was like super, I'm not a spontaneous person, but that was like a very spontaneous thing that I did. And so college, you know, like drinking again to be cool, to fit in, like all these parties, making friends, you're socializing, right? You're meeting people and connecting. I just posted a reel about that yesterday on social media. Like, it's not actually, like, I'm literally not even friends with any of those people anymore. Like, not even a single one of them, because we didn't actually have a friendship.
And you weren't actually connecting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't, like, there just, like, wasn't a friendship there. Like, it seemed like they were friends, but it's because we were drinking 5 to 6, 7 nights a week together. Like, we were just always together doing that.
Right. So last week when we recorded with Chelsea, she like likes to talk a lot about how like when alcohol is the common denominator, that isn't a friendship, but that feels like it when that's all you've known.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. It brings me back to thinking about like bathroom friendships, right? Like,
yes.
Like, oh my God, I love you. And then you end up like randomly hanging out all night and then it's, I have no idea. And then you never talk again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank God. Thank God. Because some days I've woke up the next day and been like,
what?
Oh my gosh, do I have to text this person ever again? Yeah. Like, we're not gonna
Yeah. And I had started noticing, like, I thought this was, like I said, I resonate with literally every episode, and especially the past two ones with Emily Fields and Chelsea at Mixed Without, shout out. Amazing. But Chelsea was talking about her relationship in the last episode. And I was like, again, like just such a parallel, because throughout college, as soon as I moved away, I maybe a couple months into my first year of college, like met a guy, we started dating, we dated for 5.5 years, terrible relationship, very toxic. Alcohol was a common denominator. And it fed into our relationship so much that I was noticing myself when I would drink. And specifically, like, with him and around, like, our group of friends, there was always a fight. There was always a fight that happened. And I always noticed that I never once admitted it to myself until I decided to stop drinking. And I'll talk about that, like, more later on. But looking back, I realized that, like, we all hear this saying. We've all heard this saying, I'm sure, of, like, drunk words are sober thoughts. And I feel like that's not always the case, because I don't feel like that was the case for me whatsoever. I think alcohol made me somebody that I absolutely was not. I'm not that person. I don't say those things. I don't engage in those actions. And so, again, like in hindsight, I can see that, but I didn't see it at the time. And so that was just like this perpetual cycle that I went through all throughout my college undergraduate years when I was living in Colorado. And I think it just fed into the fact that, like, I had all this anxiety and, like, this cycle of anxiety and guilt and shame and then drinking, not wanting to. I didn't go to therapy at that time, so I wasn't dealing with any of this stuff. And it just, again, played such – it was all interconnected.
Totally. I was going to say, too, back to that saying that, like, whatever the sober thoughts you can say when you're drunk, whatever, whatever.
Drunk words are sober thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So actually, like, the way that I'm looking at it now, I'm thinking, okay, no, alcohol just gave me, like, took away the reservation about communicating my unhealthy and, like, irresponsible thoughts and feelings. So I just said them without considering any of the consequences or whether it was true for me or not, right? Because, like, we're all dealing with so much of that inner child stuff, and it just fucking comes out when you're not, like, taking care of yourself. I can so relate. My partner and I, who were married now, I was the biggest asshole when we would drink. There was always a fight. I was always fighting with him about some, like, shit that didn't even matter. But it wasn't about him. It was about me and all of my shit and that I wasn't taking care of because I didn't have the tools or know how to. So, like, drinking was the solution at the time.
Yeah. And like you said, too, like, there's this whole concept of, like, using alcohol to like loosen you up or like whatever in social situations mm-hmm. or to take the edge off. But really, like you said, Katie, it diminishes your boundaries and it takes away like your power to yes. control yourself in the way that you want to. Mm-hmm. And these are all like, again, things I've learned after like starting my own journey and going through this and being like, sometimes I think about it, I'm like 4 years is like so long, but also I'm like, I'm having these like revelations, for lack of a better term, like every day still. Every day I'm learning something about what it means to live without alcohol and how it's affecting our lives.
Oh my God, I can totally relate to that. Even the other day, like our friend Jack, who's also been on the pod, called me and asked what I was doing. And I was like, I hate you for asking me that question right now because I'm in my kitchen making macaroni and cheese and I'm crying. And she was like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like, everything's so good. And that's another theme too of being like having so much more faith in myself and like my situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm realizing that I've been focusing so much on this, you know, these wounds from my mom, but my dad's actually the problem. And it just popped up like I was like, okay, cool. Like I need to work on that. Like that might be where some of this stuff is coming from. And I feel like you kind of constantly get your mind blown when you're not drinking.
And I think that we're doing this at such an imperative age too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like so much of it has to do with, you know, turning 30 and like they call that, is that the Saturn return, like 27 to 30, where you're like coming back home to yourself. And so the fact that we're removing alcohol in this era is massive for personal growth and like development. Yeah. So, and especially for you, you were 25 when you quit drinking. That's fucking amazing. And like, that's like a huge part of my mission, like personally, is like bringing this information to people who are younger than our age. Like I had someone I looked up to told me I didn't have to do those things, and not like a parent or an authority figure. I may have thought about it differently, but everyone I looked up to was also using, you know? So
And it's so interesting that you bring that up, like that if you had someone to like tell you you didn't have to do so, those things, that's also another realization that I had like recently this year, that like I never realized or learned or was taught that like it's literally like a choice whether or not to drink alcohol. Like it's almost like we're indoctrinated like into it from such a young age, and there's so much excitement and hype.
Yes.
Not even excitement, because it shouldn't be that exciting, honestly, in my opinion. But the 21st birthday, like all this hype and like it's the birthday, whatever, you know? And so it's just like you're pushed into this. And I think about my own self and I was like, I didn't even really have a chance to like think about how me solely as an individual, like felt about that and how I wanted to go about like introducing alcohol to my life. I mean, I did it before I was 21, but like, you know what I mean? I just, it is wild to me that it's not, and it is just, you know, unfortunately the way that society has normalized it and glamorizes it, and it's every freaking where, that like a lot of the big part of being alcohol free or even in sober curiosity is like unlearning all of those inherent things that we've learned and have been ingrained in us that we've seen and like just observed even from when we were little kids.
Well, and I feel like the industry that is alcohol is like that of like fast food, right? It's like not only is it a multi-billion dollar industry, it's also keeping people sick so they can also sell you something to make you feel better that's keeping you sick. And so it's like really that super, like that super toxic industry. And it's part of our livelihoods. Like, I was a bartender. Like, I should have paid my bills. And that is insane to think about, too. That, like, we have to part. It's like, it's almost like you said, like, we don't get the choice because it is the norm.
And it's expected.
Yeah. And then also, like, this comes full circle because my sister was 15 years old when she saw your reel. Right? And she sent it to me. So, like, we are reaching people who are 15 years younger. And that is huge. And, like, you know, who's to say that the one of the 25,000 people that like that or saw that, or probably probably closer to 500,000 people saw that, every single conversation starts like a, you know, just rolling that around in our brains. Social media is amazing for so many reasons.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of them.
That's what I was going to say. I totally agree. I think there's, I love social media and creating content, but again, you were talking about it on one of the previous episodes about how I found myself having to like take a pause a little bit and like take care of me, because it can be like, it can just be overwhelming to like be on social media a lot. And so I like found myself feeling like, whoa, I've never felt this way about social media. So like, let me take a step back. I don't actually have to post a reel every day. Like, people are going to be okay. And if I share more authentically, that's going to matter most. But the point being able to reach people, younger people, in that way is so cool, because again, like, a big part of my own personal mission with my platform is reaching young people and letting them know like, hey, your life and you as a person are so cool without alcohol, and you don't need it, because I didn't think I was cool. Like, everyone around me was cool. Everyone in my family was cool. And I just like, what, didn't ever feel that way.
That's insane, because you're so fucking cool.
Yeah, that's crazy to hear.
The confidence that comes when you don't drown yourself in booze, next level. Like, I can't even really explain it. It's the coolest feeling to like actually like yourself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do know what you mean. And I can't wait to be 4 years alcohol free and feel the same way. I feel like, you know, there's so many layers to the time we have under our belt.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like an ebb and flow, and it comes and it goes. But yes, confidence is definitely something that I have been so uncomfortable alcohol free that it's forced me to do things that feel better than what I was choosing before.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah. And I really appreciate you saying that, because we are fun, even if I don't feel fun all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ultimately, like, you're doing what's best for you. And like, that's that. I just also feel so strongly that when you do what's best for you, like, the universe is going to pay you back for that tenfold, regardless of how hard it feels in that moment. If you're doing what's best for you and you're honoring your decision, then you're going to have benefit from that. I just believe that.
I totally agree. I did something really hard today, actually. Someone sent me a flyer for an event, and I was like, I don't like this. Can I change it and help you with this? Like, this is part of what I do for work, and like, nothing personal, but like, I feel like I have something to offer you. And they were like, oh my God, yes, please help me with this. And I was like, amazing. Yay. Yes. And then like, it was received so well. And then afterward, I got to tell the person like, thank you for being open to this, because it's a muscle I'm really trying to flex when I see something that I feel like is deserving of more like time and attention by someone who knows what that is. Right. Like, that's at no fault to the other person. And they were just like, so grateful and thankful. And I was like, yay, I'm not bad.
Good
like,
job.
I'm not a piece of shit for saying that. And it just like reaffirmed me that I can do that. It's okay. You know, we're like always rewiring pathways just so we can believe in ourselves and do what's best for ourselves. So yay.
If you know me, you know I'm always drinking 5 NA beverages at one freaking time. So I love having different concoctions to switch things up. That's why Dry Hard Pod partnered with High Street Tonics, a woman-owned, locally crafted range of organic herbal bitters and honey cider vinegar tonics. The restorative tonics support digestion and well-being through their herbal properties, and they make the most amazing mocktails. Use the link in our bio to shop their website and use code DRYHARDPOD for 10% off when you purchase.
As you all know, I'm obsessed with Reframe app. It's the number one alcohol reduction app. It's built to help you drink less. Whether your goal is to cut back or quit entirely, Reframe is life-changing. Daily Zoom support groups, a community forum, and challenges, podcasts, TED Talks, you name it, over 100 resources are accessible in this app at any given time. You can download Reframe app on iOS, use the 7-day free trial, and use code KATY, Katie, for 10% off your subscription.
So I'm curious, like, growing up in Michigan, because I know you and Katie both grew up in Michigan, being like a snowboarder and just kind of like what that culture was like and how it contributed to to your relationship with alcohol, and then how it contributed to either like helping or kind of being something you had to break away from in order to start your alcohol-free journey 4 years ago.
Yeah, the snowboard industry. So my dad worked in the snowboard industry for his career. I started snowboarding when I was 3. I've been doing it ever since. I love it. Our family is, that's what we do. And that's actually how this is a side story. My husband, Adam, he knew my dad because my dad owned a snowboard shop here in Michigan, and Adam was a skater, snowboarder. And so he knew my dad, Adam, and who he was dating at the time. She was going to school, or I was going to school in Colorado, which is why Adam moved out there. And my dad said to Adam, hey, that's where my daughter lives. You guys should get together, whatever, meet up. And so that's how we met, when we met in Colorado.
Wow.
Adam had met everybody in my family at that point. And so when we started dating years later, we didn't have to go through any of that like awkward, weird stuff. And my dad like already knew him and liked him. So like,
yeah,
thumbs up. That was
pre-approved.
Great.
I love that.
Yeah. And so we talk a lot too, like if it weren't for snowboarding, like Adam and I wouldn't be together. But yeah, the snowboard industry is heavily, there's a lot of alcohol in the snowboard industry. Mm-hmm. And not so much when I was growing up here in Michigan, but absolutely when I moved out to Colorado, like I would have a freaking fifth in my coat on the mountain, a fireball. That's what we did. That's what everybody did. And again, like looking back now, I snowboard without booze, and I'm like, WTF was I ever doing? And it was, it was definitely more challenging at first, as I think everything is when you start your alcohol-free journey. It's hard at first. I would never tell anybody that it's not challenging at first. But again, like as I got more confident in myself, once I started living sober and doing things sober, Katie, like you were saying, like doing the things that were uncomfortable to do sober, but doing them anyway, really just solidified my decision to say, like, I actually don't need alcohol to do this. It's no more fun with alcohol. It's actually a lot more fun without it. And especially, I mean, last year when Adam and I went out to Colorado, we were talking about it, and I was like, it's otherworldly in the mountains. Like, it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. And to be, it comes back to presence for me. Like, it just reminds me that I'm like in the moment now, and being able to like take those things in is like sad to me that I ever like diminished that, because when I'm drinking, I was never paying attention to any of that stuff. That's actually really important to me that I've learned. It wasn't ever anything that I never gave it up. I never like took myself out of that world. But what I did, especially when I first stopped drinking, is as they do, friendships fizzled out. And so I just wasn't friends with some of the people that I used to be friends with and be in those situations with. And I also didn't put myself in situations that I knew were going to be centered around alcohol, because that's not a place that I wanted to be. So if there was like a party in the parking lot, or like everyone's going to the bar after a ride, like I'm just not going. I'm not doing it. I don't need to do that.
I want to share something.
Okay.
I've never talked about this on the pod. So I was in ski club when I lived in Michigan. And I was a middle schooler in ski club, and we used to fucking drink on the bus.
Wait, what's ski club?
Oh my gosh, yeah, you don't have ski club here, I don't think.
I don't think so.
So it's just that like you and your friends, or your classmates rather, would get on the bus and go ski at the nearest by, like, you know, mountain or what, mountain
hill
in Michigan. We used to drink. We used to steal our parents like schnapps and stuff. And I'm pretty sure I gave like a HJ on that bus one time.
Oh, hell yeah.
I just cannot. And I remember like I tried snowboarding, wasn't my thing. But yeah, I was a pretty good skier. I really liked it. And I don't do it anymore as an adult. I've got 4 ACL reconstructions on my left knee. So it's like winter sports are a no-go for me, but I absolutely love it. And like you said, My husband and I, we were really outdoorsy when we first got together. That was kind of like how we made the transition into fitness, because we just, neither of us were into that by the time we had met in our 20s. Mm-hmm. Like, I had played sports in high school, but I, you know, was partying for 5 years after that. So I wasn't doing anything with my body. Mm-hmm. And we started hiking, and I remember like panicking and like making it a priority to stop and get beers for my backpack so that I could like have a PNW picture cheersing mm-hmm. over like a, you know, over the ridge. Like, I'm not even looking and enjoying what's yeah. around me at this point.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for an excuse to like exert my body and mm-hmm. hate it and mm-hmm. beat it up and sweat and then celebrate by putting fucking ethanol in it at the top.
Right.
So it's insane. And then right. posting pictures about it. And
like now, this is so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all done it.
Yeah, exactly. And now like I could go on a walk in my neighborhood, which is not a nice mm-hmm. neighborhood, let me tell you, and find it to be the most beautiful thing yeah. in the entire world.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have to get in my car and drive 4 hours and mm-hmm. hike a mountain to just appreciate yeah. what was happening around me. And that yeah. feels really, really yeah. good. So I hear you.
Yeah. And like, again, sobriety just like creates so much presence in that way, like I mentioned before. And like the littlest things, like I take my dogs for a walk every single day after I get home from work. And it's the best part of my day every single day. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, oh, I'm here. And that's like so cool.
And when you get to the point mm-hmm. where you start looking forward to things like that, like things in your daily life, like mm-hmm. for me, it's like after a workout and taking like a fucked up super long hot shower and then getting yeah. into my comfy cozies, obviously, so good.
The best.
But your happiness level has to, I don't have any science behind this or like stats to throw out, but it has to increase. Like if you are more excited yeah. about your day-to-day life because you're able to actually be present and be in the moment mm-hmm. and be like seeing the beauty and allowing yourself to have these like moments of awe in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
It makes it yeah.
moments of awe.
Yeah. It's
in love.
It's
that's so
cool.
true. I'm 100% certain there is science behind that, even if we don't have mm-hmm. the stats, that's real.
Yeah. Well, and like we say on every show, like we're not scientists, so don't fucking at right. me if I said that wrong.
True.
Yeah. I know there's been studies of the like places that are more kind of focused on, I don't really know where I'm going with this because I don't have enough information to try and even do this, but I don't know. It all comes back to capitalism and like numbing ourselves to because we're like yeah. working 70 hours a week. And it's just, I don't know. I think Katie and I have been both kind of trying to move towards living a little bit slower so we can really like
yeah.
take advantage of those moments and have more of them mm. and mm-hmm. get more of that in our lives.
Totally.
But
yeah,
absolutely. I'm on that train too, like moving slower. Why am I in a rush? Why is my day minute by minute full from the time I wake up to I go to bed? I'm not doing that anymore. No.
That's like a good segue, Anna. Have you, it's so funny when I say your name too, my like Michigan accent, I like want to be like Anna instead of Anna. Like that's how I would say it here. mm-hmm. Anyways, I love
yeah.
it. Would you say that having like this mapped out busy backpack schedule is a byproduct of being alcohol free and just like taking on a lot because you can? And like, what did that process look for, like for you? Because you guys have kind of heard my process with that on the podcast of being like mm-hmm. Energizer Bunny. I can do everything. I'm going to mm-hmm. do everything. I love doing it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now being like, I don't fucking want to do anything yeah. anymore, but still doing all of it,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. I don't know that I don't know. But I do think that when I stopped drinking, I had so much more time mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. Alcohol wasn't taking up so much time, whether it was going out or whether it was like literally just like at home
being
drinking.
Hungover.
I have so much more time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like that at first. I had more time and it gave me a chance to like actually figure out the things that I liked to do, like going on walks and like doing Katie, again, in a previous episode, you talked about how you were injured a lot in that first year after drinking from exercise. Mm-hmm. And I was too, because I think I was doing a little bit of, what do they call that? Replacement addiction or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was happening a little bit. And so I had to deal with injuries. And again, like, once I started, like, actually learning about fitness and health and, like, training a little bit differently, I don't have those problems anymore. But I don't know. I want to say it probably, like, the back-to-back scheduling probably was a byproduct at first of being alcohol-free. And also just, like, being so... I do have a pretty strong work ethic. Like, I want to do things. I want to be productive and, like, whatever, and, like, be contributing and serve people and do the things, because that brings, that does bring me joy.
Right.
But if we're doing, like, too many of those, like, service-based things and not taking care of ourselves, we're going to burn out. And I think that's ultimately what ended up happening even within this last year, because I was trying to do so many things. And I just, again, the more and more that I get further into my sobriety, I just learn new things about myself and, like, am willing now to, like, try new things, and I'm confident in doing new things.
Same. Yeah, I can so relate to that. That's how I feel. Like, I just felt like the world is my oyster, so I have to do all of it right now. I'm also a 7 on the Enneagram, and so I get a lot of my, like, affirmation and, like, feel good feelings from outside things. And so I engage with a lot because it makes me feel good until I crash and burn. And then I cry in my room because I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And Steve's like, you literally don't have to do anything that you're doing.
And so now, like, in this transition in recent months of, like, living slower, I talk about it with my own therapist. And literally last week I told her, like, I love doing nothing, like, literally nothing. I love the quiet. I love just sitting on the couch in silence. I'm also, I have ADHD. So I don't know if that's part of it as well, where, like, I was almost in this, like, hyper arousal, unregulated situation. I don't have, again, I don't have a lot of knowledge, like, about that and if that translates, but that's kind of what it feels like for me. And so now I was overstimulated, but I was, like, functioning. And now I'm aware of, like, my overstimulation and how much it affects me and, like, drains the shit out of me, that I have to, like, replenish that. And I have to schedule in, like, something I'm literally working on actively right now is scheduling in time, like, for nothing, to do nothing. That's just for me. That doesn't involve anybody else or even, like, doing anything, so that I can, like, recharge, quite literally.
I was going to say, too, for me, it feels like, so I picked up this side hustle when I quit drinking, of, like, social media management. So I manage a couple of accounts on Instagram. So something that's been a struggle for me that I've been working on is, like, when I'm doing nothing, it gives me a good, an opportunity to pick up my phone and to schedule content and to create. And that's, like, not doing anything, right? That's working. And even with my own social media page, I used to feel that way. And then with Dry Hard. So, and I'm sure a lot of people have noticed, or maybe no one notices, I don't know. But I'm like, I'm not making cutesy sober stuff anymore for Dry Hard, because, like, it's genuinely not part of my message. Like, it's not part of why I'm here on this planet. Like, these conversations are why, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
While social media is obviously, like, does give me life and I do really enjoy it, I, like, so much more like to do it from, like, a lifestyle standpoint, or, like, even sharing things and, like, tidbits from the episodes that people might not catch, or that people who aren't listening to the pod have access to. And so, yeah, I totally, like, the sitting and doing nothing is, like, been, like, the boss, right? Like, that's the one thing I'm, like, trying to tackle. And actually, Kaylee, my friend Michelle, is the one who was like, do you ever just sit and do nothing? And I'm like, why?
I have, like, two modes. One is kind of manically wanting to, like, clean and organize everything. Or I'm asleep. I'm, like, literally, like, napping, or like, watching TV and scrolling on my phone and playing my video games and knitting and, like,
I feel that.
But it does, like, it feels good. It's just, yeah, it sometimes having that space blocked out allows me to do stuff like, I haven't looked at the Dry Hard production schedule in a while.
We're doing great.
Or let me check my personal email and see, like, do I owe anyone
mm-hmm,
money?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to make time for those things. I totally agree with you. Like, I will have these random ass bills that sit on my counter for months. And it's like, I have the money. I have the means. Like, I have the time. I just am not managing my time the way that I would like to. And I feel like this podcast episode just went in a whole different direction. But here we are. We have landed. So, okay, so before we, like, skip back to the schedule that we have been known not to follow, if this activates you or doesn't feel good for you, you don't have to answer, but will you describe to us what kind of drinker you were, like, what your tendencies were, and then, like, what was the catalyst for change? Like, what did you decide? Why was it time? Mm-hmm. You know, what did that look like for you?
Yeah, I definitely was a binge drinker. Binge for sure. I don't really know how else to describe it. That's just what I did. That was just the cycle ever since I went to college until basically I quit. And so ultimately, I think it was a compound of things over time that led to me giving up alcohol for good. I moved back to Michigan in 2018, and I lived with my sister and brother-in-law at that time. I was with them for 8 months, and they were and still are alcohol-free.
Oh, cool.
I shout them out every time I, like, introduce that. They're incredible. And they stopped drinking in 2017. It was huge for me to see them modeling that lifestyle while I was living with them. And they're people, I mean, I've looked, my sister, she's 6 years older than me, but she's been someone that I've looked up to for my whole entire life. She's my best friend. And I, like, she's just, like, paved a way for me. That's so special. And her husband too. The reason they stopped drinking is because he had stage 4 cancer and he felt like crap.
Yeah.
He's in remission. He's good. Yes. We love that for him. But that was their reason. And they just kind of kept with it and have developed these other reasons over time. But I moved back, was living with them. And again, I could see people living life without alcohol. So then my birthday, July 25th, 2018, I turned 25 that year, my golden birthday, and I went out with Adam, who was my boyfriend at the time. He's now my husband. We went out with him and a group of, like, our friends, but his friends, some of my friends, to the bars, and it was the same pattern that had happened with my previous relationship, that some type of fight was started out of nowhere. The night went to shit. I remember waking up in the next morning, like, that sense of shame and embarrassment and, like, having to text people and say, like, I'm so sorry for the way that I acted was the last straw. And it was because that this pattern that I had known from a previous relationship was with Adam. And I was like, I already know that I want to be with this person for the rest of my life. And if I keep the shit up, that's not going to happen. And so I wasn't willing to risk my relationship with him for my relationship with alcohol. And again, fortunately, I had already had people in my life that I was so close to living without alcohol, so knew it was possible. At that point was when I ventured into the sober curious space. I was like, okay, I'm not going to drink as much. Mm-hmm. I'm going to rein it in. I'm going to monitor myself. I'm going to, you know, not drink during the week. I didn't have a plan, really, but I told myself I wasn't going to drink as much. And so I did that for a while, and it was fine. It was okay. Were there times where it got out of hand? Absolutely. And then it was New Year's Eve 2018 that I remember saying to Adam, like, I'll have a beer. We were going out with just one friend. Like, we weren't doing anything extravagant for New Year's that year. And I said, I'll have one drink. But after that, like, I'm just done. Like, it wasn't. I had come to this realization after, you know, that 5-ish months of sober curiosity that I realized that even after one or two drinks, I felt like trash and it was a waste of money. Why am I doing this? Like, it doesn't even taste that good. It just didn't feel aligned anymore. I realized that alcohol served absolutely no purpose. And if I was going to have just one, why have any at all? And then my first realization, I think in January of that year, 2019, was that, oh my gosh, making that decision to just be done was so freeing, to not have to live in this place of monitoring myself all of the time and always having to be like, so like babysitting myself in my, I don't know. I feel like you guys can understand what I mean when I say that, but it was so liberating. And there was such a weight lifted off of myself to just be like, I'm just someone who doesn't drink anymore. I have never, and I don't categorize myself as an addict or an alcoholic, but I definitely think that I had some level of dependency on alcohol. I think almost all people who use alcohol in some way, shape or form are like physiologically dependent on it, whether they know it or not, whether they're willing to admit that or not. It might be the habit of it. It might be the habit of going to happy hour after work or opening that bottle of wine when you get home or grabbing a beer when you get home. Or it could be like the literal dependence on alcohol itself. And I think, you know, the feeling of needing it in a social setting, those are all things that society has unfortunately normalized that actually are problematic, that we're not taught our problems and we don't notice our problems until we are without. Yeah. So from that day on, I just was like, I'm done with it. I told, you know, my people who are closest to me, and I feel really fortunate. And sometimes I feel like almost bad sharing the fact that like, I had friendships fizzle out, but I never really had anyone that was like straight up unsupportive of my decision or like super, super questioned me about it. And I know that's not the case for every person. And I think more often than not, there are actually a lot of people who are close to an individual that give them pushback. But my family was really understanding about it. Obviously, my sister was already sober, so I didn't have to worry about that.
Awesome.
Adam was great about it. And we had a lot of conversations about it. And his own, he does still drink, but it's not like the center of his, Kaylee, I think your partner is the same. Mm-hmm. It's not the center of their world and they are okay. And I'm okay with that. And so, yeah, from then on, it's just been this process of growing and learning and lots of unlearning about myself, about alcohol. And I've heard you guys mention it on the podcast before. Like, you don't realize how much it's everywhere until like you stop. And then I'm like disgusted at how it's literally everywhere. And like something I was thinking about that, like, we don't even need to get into because I'm not a mom. And I know, Katie, you do have a daughter, Iris. And, but like the mommy wine culture, bro, like, what the fuck is that? That's so terrible. Like,
it's bad.
Oh my gosh. It's so bad. It's so toxic. And again, that like just further perpetuates my, what I'd like to do on social media too, is like, I might not ever take down big alcohol myself, but man, if we can rally together, maybe one day we'll get to a point where like kids are growing up and they know that it's a choice for them. And they know that like, you know, it's maybe not as big of a deal and it's not like pushed on them like it probably was for all of us. But yeah, that was ultimately my catalyst for change.
I love that. All of that. It's funny. It's a lot like my experience. So especially with like, so Steve and I had that like really terrible night in Mexico and then I quit drinking like 2 months later. And you know, Steve was never like, you need to quit drinking or this isn't going to work anymore. But I was like, I have to quit drinking or this is not going to work anymore. Yeah. Like, how can this person that I love continue to accept this type of behavior from me? They can't. And whether he would say that or not, he would never would. But that's not a life for him to live or for me to wake up feeling ashamed and sad. And I know Kaylee's had some experiences like that too when she was drinking, I think also in Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Katie and I are actually going on a retreat together soon in February to Mexico. And
Oh my God. I heard that. I heard that on the episode. I can't wait to hear about it once you actually go.
Dude, it's just going to be such a different experience than the last time I was there. So it's going to be, it's interesting. But I think one of the things that stood out to me in this conversation is just, you really have to kind of like separate yourself. And there's some sort of light bulb that turns on when you realize that I don't have to be this way. And alcohol is actually the cause. And I think what's so scary is, especially because it's so prevalent, you just don't realize how bad you feel until you kind of get mm-hmm. on the other side. And I think I mentioned yeah. it on the pod before, but I wish I could just like snap my fingers and get people to that side where it does kind yes. of take some faith to start rewiring those neural pathways and be like, I can show up to the mountain even when everyone's still mm-hmm. drinking, and I can go and I actually mm-hmm. have a better time. But sometimes mm-hmm. that doesn't like connect.
Yeah, it doesn't feel doable to at first for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it takes bravery to like to yes. get through that hump. And I think you showing up on social yeah. media, not to cut you off, Katie, please. But it does show more people, like Katie's 15-year-old sister who shared it. And hopefully like the mm-hmm. more we continue to talk about those experiences, you see more and more non-alcoholic options pop up. You see that mm-hmm. kids aged, you know, X to X are drinking significantly less than other generations at that time. Like it mm-hmm. is a really exciting time because it's the message is getting mm-hmm. across.
Totally.
Yeah.
There's some studies showing that alcohol is on the same track as cigarettes, which is fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Something else, and this is just like coming in for me from this conversation from what both of you shared, but like changing the script of like making an alcohol-free life an enrichment instead of a punishment. Because right now mm-hmm. like I yeah. posted this thing on Instagram last week and this woman commented on it and was like, stop glorifying the fact that you have a problem, and like people who aren't alcoholics don't need to evaluate their relationship with alcohol. Like you, that's not what you need to have an awakening, especially people who don't have a problem. Like she was just like basically shaming me for having a problem with alcohol mm-hmm. when I'm like, bitch, listen, the gray area mm-hmm. drinking is huge, yeah. right?
I think that's where most people are, really.
And it's dangerous to ignore that huge group of people in the middle.
Huge group of people, because then what we're doing is we're yes. stopping rock bottoms when people are able to question their relationships mm-hmm. with it. And with, honestly, too, this has like so mm-hmm. much less to do with alcohol, and it's so much more to do with relationship with self. And you can't achieve that until you can identify
yes.
what a healthy or unhealthy relationship like is like with a substance. And so anyways, yeah. she's like shaming yeah. me for this, throwing around the alcoholic word and like basically trying to like gatekeep people who should be able to drink and who should not. And like what I want to do is I want to see like non-alcoholic options, like Chelsea said, right with the alcoholic options. I want people mm-hmm. who are like, you know, to yeah. be able to order something that doesn't have alcohol in it at a bar, and it not to be like a eye blink and like, what the fuck, you really, you know what I mean? Like, that's mm-hmm. the next step anyways before we can eradicate alcohol altogether. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's all about enrichment. It's not a punishment.
Yeah. And living a life of enrichment versus punishment, and also like addition yes. versus subtraction. Like, okay, you might be taking this substance away, but like, look at all. This is also something I've been thinking about, a statement I wanted to make that I've been thinking about to share with you and the listeners is like, I've never had a conversation with someone who has been alcohol free that has regretted that decision.
Yes.
Like ever. Never in any of my conversations. And so I think that speaks volumes, but also this concept of looking at everything that is enhanced or all of these other new opportunities that you get when you aren't living your life that's so based around a substance is so much more enriching and so much more exciting. And I did a lot of things scared early on in sobriety, and I didn't start sharing about my journey on social media until I was like probably a year and a half in. It wasn't like until spring of 2020 that I started like actively sharing on social media about it, because I was in a place then where I felt comfortable enough with myself and where I was that I could share that with other people.
It's a huge accountability moment to make that public.
Yes, absolutely. And I knew like, even though deep down I knew like that I was probably going to be done drinking for good. But then again, sharing about it, I was like, oh, we're done. Like, we're done with this. I think it could be easy to look at somebody who is almost four years in and be like, oh my gosh, like she makes it look so easy for her. So whatever, because I'm positive and upbeat and like whatever, but there were a lot of and still are hard times and hard things, but it's never going to be as hard as trying to navigate life drinking ever again. You know what I mean? And so early on, yeah, there are things that you got to do and experiences to have for the first time ever, maybe, that you don't drink or don't have alcohol. But every time you do something, every time I did one of those things, that's what increases your confidence.
Yes.
In your ability to do those things and just in yourself to know, like, oh, I can go and maybe I feel I fumble. It's the social things for me, because again, like the social anxiety and like, oh, what do I say? Do they like me? Like, oh my God, I still feel that every single day. But I also know, like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I was telling my therapist about it, and she was like, do you like everybody that you meet? And I was like,
no.
You're right. And so she was like, why are you so, not like, why are you so worried about it? But she was like, if someone, like, you can't expect mm-hmm. everybody to like you or everybody to agree with what you say. But like, if you know who you mm-hmm. are, that's what matters. Like, period. End of story. And the people that are about that
yeah.
will be your people. And I just was like, yeah, that's so true.
I also think what it happens too is that you become magnetic for people who, even if they don't agree with everything that you say, mm-hmm. can have a really vulnerable and honest conversation with you that's difficult, and then get to the other side of it, like, closer.
Yeah.
That's something yeah. that I've experienced mm-hmm. in this, my alcohol-free journey. Steve always makes fun of me when I say journey. It's my alcohol-free journey.
I hate it. I don't love that word, but I don't, like, know what other word to use. Like, experience or I don't know.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But
is that, like, my relationships have become more intimate and more close because I've got to know myself mm-hmm. better and, like, trust myself more. But it's funny, Anna, that you say that, because yeah. people say that to me a lot too. They're like, it's so easy for you. You're doing all the things, and you know, all, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I call Kaylee crying a lot. And I'm like, I mm-hmm. just, like, my dog has been sick. My new puppy has been sick, and it's been, I'm not going to make this about that because I've talked enough about it, but it's been so incredibly hard. And, like, even today, like, I didn't eat or drink mm-hmm. water until, like, 3:30 or 4:00 p.m. And, like, I cannot do that shit to myself. And it's so easy to mm-hmm. slide and, like, but, like, yeah. having compassion for ourselves and being curious about it instead of just, like, being fucking hard on myself, you know? And
yeah. And understanding that, like, okay, maybe you didn't eat or drink anything until that time, but, like, you're not bad or wrong for that. Like, that doesn't make yeah. you inherent, you know what I mean? And I think that's also a shift that comes when you have mm-hmm. just more compassion and love for mm-hmm. yourself, and understanding that, like, sometimes shit's just gonna happen, and, like, that's okay.
Totally.
Kaylee said to me, Kaylee, do you remember what you said to me when I was like, I haven't even drank or eaten anything today? And what did you say?
That, like, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not gonna be this way forever.
And then you also said, and how could you have eaten or drink anything all day? You've been doing so much, and you have been taking care of your dog, and you've been going to the vet. Like, you always, like, are my fucking cheerleader, and I love you for that, because I need that.
Oh yeah, I mean, you need so someone sweet. To, like, throw you a granola bar, like, in your window as you're driving by. Like, yeah. there's just been so, like, she's just been, like, being such a good dog mom and taking care of so much, and this time just feels so busy mm-hmm. too. And I think
yeah,
for me, not drinking definitely felt like a punishment at first, but
yeah.
and I had to kind of get through that. But now that voice of that we're talking about here, that voice of, like, okay, like, that's okay. I'm not a failure because I didn't hit my nutrition or, like, my macros or whatever, or even eat, like, perfectly yeah. today. I'm not a failure because I didn't get 8 hours of sleep. Like, I feel like sometimes we all can relate to on this call, and I'm sure a lot of listeners, that perfectionism mm-hmm. and it's like,
yeah,
I feel good when I do the things right, when I check the things off the list, yeah. when I had a vegetable, when I got 8 hours of sleep. Like, we know it's what makes us feel good, but beating ourselves up about it
to, like, get there, no,
to get there is not the thing, and it's so much easier said than done. But I never had that voice of, like, oh, the universe is just trying to fuck with me today, like, that's funny, it's fine, I'm gonna be fine. I, mm-hmm. when I was drinking, I would just not eat and then drink an entire bottle of wine and then, like,
oh, yeah.
throw up about it. And then my next day would be miserable, and the next day, and the next day. Mm-hmm. And now it's like that light at the end of the tunnel is today. Like, I'm already able to turn my mood around
yeah.
and be in such a better headspace within hours. Whereas before, it would be like weeks.
Dude. Yes.
In the suck space. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's incredible. That's wow.
It's so true. It's so true. And, like, Steve and I both, like, at the end of the day today, we were like, wow, this has been hard. And I'm like, what are we? And then we like looked at each other and like tomorrow we're so excited to watch the England versus France World Cup game. And we are so excited to watch the NCAA volleyball tournament. Oregon Ducks are seated like 2 in their bracket. Mm-hmm. Like we're like going to put on sports. We're going to clean the house, like, and just be in our own bubble. Like sometimes I just need to remove myself from everyone else's mm-hmm. stuff and like all of the yes. noise and just be in my own little bubble. And like, Anna, I feel like you share about that a lot where you're like, I'm going to log off for the day because Adam and I are going to spend quality time together. And I yeah. love that you voice those things because mm-hmm. we don't see what's happening behind the scenes. It's like when you watch a movie and you don't see them eat a meal the entire yeah. fucking movie. And you're like, it's been 25 days and you haven't eaten a meal. And it's like, people don't see the things that we're not sharing. So I really appreciate you for being like, hey, it's not a great mental health day and I mm-hmm. didn't work out and I'm resting and I'm going to go on a walk with my dogs yeah. and like hang out with my husband.
It makes me feel so good. Same. Seeing that. Like it gives me yeah. permission to be able to show up that way too for myself. And it's so important.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear that because like, I mean, in the fitness industry too, especially on social media, there's just a lot of bullshit. And sometimes I'm like, do I even want to share about that? Like, do I want to put myself in that space? But I do because I want to work against it. Similarly to working against this, you know,
yeah,
alcohol situation and like unlearning and realizing that like our bodies need rest and we need so much of fitness to me is like honoring my body with what it needs and listening to when I'm just feeling like lazy and blah or if my body is fucking tired. And if my body is tired, I'm not gonna, or if my brain is overworked and my brain's not okay, I'm not gonna put any more stress on my body to try mm-hmm. to just push through mm-hmm. or like whatever. I think a lot of that can be really toxic too. And so it's important. Social media showing up as authentically as possible is really important to me and not like sugarcoating any of it or like trying to, because we all know like social media is a highlight reel. And of course I'm going to share the things yes. that are like cool yes. and fun and like, totally, oh my God, look yeah. how cute my dog is. But also like, it's so important to me to share about when I'm not feeling great because I know that I'm normal and I've learned, like I said at the beginning of this, like that I know I'm not alone. So now I feel like I need to help others know that mm-hmm. they are also not alone with whatever aspect it might be, whether it's something related to being alcohol free or fitness or mental health or whatever. Like we have to listen to our bodies and we have to, it can be, I mean, part of my like guilty pleasure when I'm doing nothing is like scrolling on TikTok because I like don't really use TikTok. I don't post on there.
Same. I just, like, I'm like trying, but I feel same. Too old. And like it's... I can't figure it the fuck out.
But some of the stuff on there is just so entertaining. So like I'll just like scroll. But then sometimes like, oh my God, Anna, I've been Dude. Scrolling for 5 hours. You gotta get off. You gotta like, no wonder Dude. Your eyes fucking hurt. Yeah. What are you doing? And so like when I say on social media, like, yo, I'm taking a break. That also tells other people like, oh, like I could also yep. take a break and like not have to have this pressure and not have to be connected all of the time and like go connect mm-hmm. in your real lives. And like, because I'm active a lot on social media, it's really important to me to like not be doing that when I'm with Adam or my family or like doing things in my personal life, to like actually be present in those things and not have to document it all. I think that's also like not something that I want to portray on social media is like I'm sharing it all, because there's a lot of stuff I don't share on social media too. But yeah, I mean, back to, you know, just taking care of yourself, like that's mm-hmm. all we're all trying to do. And I think we just have to listen to ourselves more. And there's so much stuff being thrown at us via social media all the time about how to push through. And especially, oh my gosh, this is another side tangent, but like I've learned, I went off birth control, gosh, maybe also about 4 years ago. But I started learning a lot about, you know, the women's mm-hmm. cycle and like cycle syncing and things like that. And when people say like, oh, work out, it's going to make your cramps better. Like, please don't. Your body like doesn't always want that. Like, you know, to each their own. Sometimes if you feel up to it, go for it. But like if you're cramping and like feeling so tired, this book that I read called Woman Code by Lisa Beatty, she discusses like your workout for that day is a nap.
I love
that's what you need to do. And that's, yeah. And so that was another just like side tangent thing that I didn't learn from Instagram mm-hmm. world or social media, where I learned that yes. from a book from someone who is educated and knows what they're talking about and sharing about. Well, but anyways, yeah,
Kaylee and I have discussed like scheduling the podcast around our cycles, like, and we kind of did it this month. Like Kaylee and mm-hmm. I were on the same cycle now, which is I love. Like I don't even
of course you are
in the same town. Like we're not physically even in each other's like fucking energy or like hormone range, but mm-hmm. it just works that way. And like we really didn't have yeah. any recordings while we were on our bleed, like at all. Okay. And like now we're like mm-hmm. on yeah. our periods yeah. and we're like we're busting out like three fucking recordings in the next couple of weeks and like just really getting into it. And yeah. it feels good that kind of happened like naturally, you know. And then for me too, mm-hmm. like I was bleeding this week and it was PR week at the gym and I felt so good. Mm-hmm. Like I felt so good. I didn't have cramps mm-hmm. or anything. And I PR'd all my lifts yeah. and it was just like so much fun and I needed the mental break. And so it's like, but then like 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
or, I'm sorry, 2 months ago, I was not feeling good. And I was just like, I'm canceling mm-hmm. everything this week. I'm not going to the gym. I'm not working out. And that's fine.
Yeah. Nothing's going to happen to you. Like if you don't do the things, like it's going to be okay. It's all going to be okay.
Yes. That's like such a good note to end on. It's all going to be okay. God, I think today is the first day I actually haven't texted Katie and Ashley and like everyone in my circle to be like, I skipped the gym today. I feel really bad about it. Like, because I did skip the gym today. I did not even set my alarm for the right time. Like I
subconsciously
just booked it and was like, this isn't happening. And it didn't. And it's like, I'm super sore and I feel like totally fine about not going. And if I would have yeah. pushed through, there's a likelihood that I would have injured myself because I'm already kind of feeling yeah. just like certain parts of my body were overworked. And mm-hmm. yeah. So it is cool to get to know yourself more, like without these yeah. alternate substances, whether it be yeah. you know, hormones, alcohol, all of those things. It's nice to mm-hmm. be like, this is what my body needs and I'm gonna honor that and I'm not gonna feel bad about it.
Yeah.
I wanna say one more thing. Because you touched on this and I want to say a statement that I just read about in a book. You said that like when you removed alcohol, you just like went out and did the things and like you did them even though they were hard. And like that's how you mm-hmm. build confidence. And I think mm-hmm. that there's a lot of debate over this topic of whether you need confidence first to then do the things or do you build confidence by doing mm-hmm. the things. And I think that that has been like mm-hmm. so important for me in this journey because like I've been doing a lot of like speaker panels and mm-hmm. they just lights me up. I don't offer anything to people. Like I'm not a coach, like I'm not doing anything. And so someone said like, well, like, why are you doing all of that? Like, are you even like, or is it a thing? Like, are you prepared or like, what are you going to turn that into? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just doing it. We'll see. I don't know what's going to happen. Like I was like complaining, I don't have a website and I don't have this and I don't have that. And it's like, oh, well, mm-hmm. like you're making relationships and like I'm trying hard things that are scary for me. So I really think that like it's important for listeners to know that like Kaylee and I had no fucking idea what we were doing when we started the podcast. But like we really built mm-hmm. that confidence through action and like doing the thing.
Yes.
And of a philosophy that like it has to feel good, like it needs to be fun, it needs to light me up, like I'm gonna have so much energy to like jam out to music and cook dinner after this yes. episode because I just feel good getting to hear from people like you and I feel so seen by this conversation and aww. Inspired to just chill out mm-hmm. today because that is what my body needs.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I am realizing that we're like over an hour in and I didn't even get to hear anything about you being a child forensic interviewer. So just wanted to call that out that there's like just so much. So I really hope that we can get to talk to you on the pod again. But if there's anything yeah. that you felt like you wanted to cover that you didn't get a chance to say or anything that stands out to you that you want to kind of leave the folks who are listening mm-hmm. with, what would that be?
Yeah, I think, like I said, the thing that I'll leave people with, I'm going to say something that I've learned and then something that I'm going to leave people with.
Cool.
What I've learned, especially as somebody who struggles a lot with anxiety, quitting drinking, alcohol caused a lot of anxiety for me, but also when I quit, my anxiety didn't go away. However, it gave me a space to learn how to navigate my anxiety in a productive way. Yes. And understand like what I was actually feeling in my body when anxiety happened and when I felt triggered and what that was really like versus just like stuffing it down and pouring alcohol over it to numb. And so while I still struggle with anxiety to this day and will for the rest of my life, I know that I can handle it now. And I know that I don't have to hide from it and I don't have to cover it up using any type of substance. And I want to leave everybody with like, if you are feeling called, if you're feeling called to do something, do it. Whether it's quitting drinking, whether it's something in your job, whether it's something new, like just listen to your intuition and like do the thing, because that is just so powerful. And like I said before, when you listen to yourself and you honor yourself and make decisions based on that, the universe is going to give back to you. And as far as being alcohol free goes, I think this was talked about with Emily Fields too, but I think it's really important to remember and keep at the forefront of your brain your why for wanting to quit, even if those memories and reasons can be really hard, like mine were. Like remembering that night of my 25th birthday is like not a pleasant thing that I want to remember all of the time, but it was the thing that reminded me like, oh, someone's offering me a drink, kind of want to take it in early sobriety, but I also know that I never want to feel that way that I felt ever again. So I'm going to say no to this because there's a really probable chance that it's going to like lead me there.
Right.
And so remembering that and keeping that, because people always ask me on Instagram, you know, like, how did you do it? How did you stop? Like whatever. And I just tell them like, you got to come up with a why. It has to be personal for you. It's going to be different for everybody. And then this is really the last thing I'll say. No one's journey is same to the other person. Like all three of us here have completely different stories and completely different experiences. And so again, with, you know, how our access to social media can be really easy to compare ourselves to other people. And so just understand for the listeners out there that like your experience is completely unique to you. And that's a power that you have, not a setback that you have. And I think the more you can use that to your advantage, the better it's going to serve you.
So good. Thank you so much for coming on and dropping a shit ton of knowledge on on all of us.
So good. I am so excited we got to connect like live, right? Because it's always through our fingers. And so this is really great to be face to face. And before you go, Anna, I have some announcements for January that I just want to get recorded on the pod so Kaylee can work her magic and make sure that other people hear them, because she's our producer extraordinaire. I love you.
Oh, and we want to know where to find you too.
Oh my gosh, so let's hear that first. Okay, Anna, where can we find you if people want to connect with you? How can they do that?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Annalee Roberts, Annalee.Roberts, R-O-B-E-R-T-S. Please connect with me on Instagram, send me a message. I love connecting with people on there. I love having conversations about sobriety and sober curiosity and alcohol free and literally anything. Dogs, obviously.
Awesome. Well, we will put that in the show notes and also in the copy so people can just give it a little click and follow along. So Dry Hard Pod, last year we hosted our very first Dry January group and it was crazy and we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into and it was amazing. And I think like 40 people signed up and like it was awesome.
I literally thought we were going to have 3 people.
I literally did too. We just like talked about it and it was just like, wow, okay, all these people want to do this and it was great. However, in light of doing less but still offering support for the alcohol-free community or sober curious community or just people who want to participate in Dry January, our amazing friend Emily Fields reached out to me and she said, hey, can I help you with Dry January? And I was like, yes, what do you want to do? And so what I think we're going to do is Dry Hard Pod is going to go live on Instagram with her every Sunday evening, like mid-afternoon, and just offer some tools and some conversation around the steps as we go through the month of January. So stay tuned for that. I will be like posting more information about that and getting more info for Emily, and also shout out to Em, who is like excited to take this on with us. Feels really good to collaborate with our community. Okay, and then another really exciting in-person event coming up. High Street Tonics, who is one of our affiliates, her name is Cherie. She's local to Eugene. She owns this amazing bitters company that we have a discount code if you ever want to get any of her products. They are locally made. They're amazing. But her and Kaylee and I are hosting and presenting a zero proof pop-up experience Saturday, January 14th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It will be at the Collective Beauty and Wellness in Eugene. Shout out to Chelsea for like offering up her space for this event.
Thank you, Chelsea.
Yeah, Cherie is presenting an event for the dry and damp, the sober curious, the mindful drinkers, the not tonighters, the never evers, and anyone who just loves to have options. We're going to have an evening of zero proof cocktails, NA beers, wines, and small plates to go along with the tastings. Really what she wants to do is like just create a space and see how our community responds to an in-person meetup where we get to experience something that we don't have at the bars. And also have delicious food with it, great conversation, and yeah, just kind of see how it goes. So I'm really excited to be offering her some support in marketing and just like getting a community together to support her. That was a lot.
That's so cool.
Yes. So excited. I want to like go on tour.
I was just going to say that. That's in the books for y'all.
My gosh. I hope so. I'm putting it out there into the uni. I want to like keep growing the soap,
please,
the dry hard fam, like just keep meeting, yes, cool people, and then we can all be,
yes,
friends.
I love it. Awesome. Well, thanks again, Anna, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you.